Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In almost every culture, mountains have symbolized the place of meeting between heaven and earth. And in those places where there were no mountains, the deserts of Egypt or the lowlands of the Mesopotamian River Valley, for instance, people built pyramids or ziggurats to get up to a high place, a symbolic point of contact between earthbound man and the God who is beyond space and beyond time. It was on the heights where heaven came down to earth and earth was raised up to heaven. But more important than the mountains themselves was what happened on those high places. God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave the law to Israel. In the first reading today, Elijah encounters the still, small voice of God on Mount Horeb. And as we've just heard in the gospel, this meeting of heaven and earth occurred on Mount Tabor, where the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, ascend to a high place to pray with their Lord. The heavenliness of Jesus blazed forth in raiment white and glistening. Now we've read this account of the Transfiguration occurs in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we read today from Mark, but Luke provides a little detail. And that is that the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were sleepy. They were almost asleep. They almost missed this event. All heaven was breaking loose, and all they could manage was a snooze. I've done it myself. I've seen you do it too. So here we are. Jesus coming amongst us in word and sacrament, and sometimes all we can muster is a yawn. Why is this so? What can we do about it? Well, do we still have to go up on a mountain to find God? Well, in a way, we do, because God is above and beyond this natural world, and always we must be raised beyond our earthly limits toward God. Always we turn from this world, which is even now passing away, to God and focus our attention on Him. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere that we gather together on the highest ground with Peter and James and John and all the saints and all the angels and meet God. And the highest spiritual place, the source and summit of the Christian life, is the Mass. The Mass is our preeminent and paramount meeting place with God in Christ. It is Jesus himself who gives us this lofty peak and has told us to climb it. Do this, he says. This is what we do here on Sunday morning, the ultimate high-level meeting, where heaven comes down to earth and earth is raised up to heaven. Now, why might we be dozing while on this zenith of the Christian faith and life? Boring, long sermons? Bad liturgy, unsingable hymns? I don't think so. Even the most concise of sermons, even grand liturgy, even with glorious hymns, we can go into spiritual stupor. And here's the problem. We human beings are wrapped up in ourselves. just as Peter and James and John were wrapped up in themselves rather than being attentive to Jesus. And if we're truly honest, we'll admit that there is nothing more boring than ourselves. Think of yourself going to a party. If you go with the expectation that others will pay attention to you and have expectations of just how things need to be in order to please you, you will be disappointed. You will have a bad time because you are wrapped up in yourself. If, however, you go to a party willing to pay attention to others, willing to be interested in them, willing to simply let things happen, then you are available to the fun of being surprised. And so it is with the Mass, or with any other prayer for that matter. So long as our attention is on ourselves rather than on the other, we are going to end up uninterested and uninspired. Now, is there an antidote for this? Lent begins on Wednesday. And Lent is a time, it's the church's annual 40-day revival period, in which we are meant to concentrate on our spiritual lives. And one of the things that we are meant to do is to pray better. And of course, the prayer par excellence is the Mass. So I want to give you very briefly, very practically, a 5-step discipline for ascending the high place of the Mass. And it's very simple. Come fresh, come early, get quiet, take part, come to give, not to get. First, come fresh. It's necessary to reorder our lives so that we get a rest before coming to worship. I noticed the irony of this last night was the drawdown, I understand. But generally speaking, late nights, too much food, too much drink, make it difficult for us to be attentive to anything or anyone. If you and I were going to meet some great person, I bet you dollars to donuts we would get adequate rest beforehand so that we were in top form. But remember, when we come together on Sunday for the Mass, for the Lord's Supper, our host is none other than the King of the universe. So prepare appropriately. Second, come early. Get to church before the liturgy begins. 10 minutes is a good thing to aim for. Again, you know that this is what you would do if you had an important appointment. And there is no more important appointment than the one with God. And we come early to achieve the third thing, which is getting quiet. It allows you to get into your place, to be accustomed to your surroundings, and then quiet down. I mean, there's no reason that anybody should be talking before the service. By talking, not only do we rob ourselves of precious preparation time, but it's also a grave discourtesy to our neighbor who might want to use that time for their preparation. And this is a procedure that I have found quite helpful. Arrive, find your place, look around you, take in your environment, and then bring that environment further in by closing your eyes. And it's best not to rattle off word prayers right away. Just be quiet internally. Think about the God who is coming to you. Focus on Him and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Fourthly, take part. The word liturgy is a Greek word which means work of the people. And our worship is not like that of some churches where you plunk yourself down in a padded pew and someone preaches at you and someone sings at you and someone prays at you. while you are entertained passively. In liturgical worship, we all have a part to play. We worship by participation, not by association. So make your responses audibly. Make your ceremonial gestures big and bold and beautiful. Sing the hymns. If you can't sing, sing anyway. If you really can't sing, open the hymnal, read the words as the rest, because they're wonderful devotional poetry. But remember this, you and I are not at Mass to be entertained. Rather, we are the entertainers. God is our audience, waiting for us to do something beautiful for Him. So we take part and we try our very best to be beautiful, to act well for the audience of one. And finally, perhaps I should have put this one first, come to give, not to get. If you and I are thinking only of ourselves, only about what we get out of things, that is an example of self-centeredness. And self-centeredness is the opposite of true worship. Worship is meant to lift us above and beyond ourselves to God. The Greek word ecstasy, ekstasis, standing outside of oneself, is what worship is all about. Seek the things that are above, says Jesus. We come to church, we come to Mass to give ourselves to God. St. Catherine Laboureil, who was a French nun of the early 19th century, approached worship this way. She said, after I enter the chapel, I place myself in the presence of God and I say to Him, Lord, I am here. Give me whatever You wish. And if He gives me something, I'm happy and I thank Him. If He doesn't give me anything, I thank Him nonetheless, knowing as I do that I deserve nothing. The point is that whatever happens or doesn't happen at Mass and in prayer, God is still worthy of our attention, our worship, our praise, and our thanksgiving. Whenever we judge the worth of anything by what we get out of it, we are doomed to disappointment because nothing will ever be just the way that we want it. And finally, remember this. Love is found by those who go to their lover seeking to give themselves away, not by those who seek something for themselves. That's what Jesus says. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever would give his life away for my sake will find it. So the question is, when you come to church, what's the question? Is it, what's in it for me? Or is it, what more can I do for God? And the question you ask determines what you will receive. To pray the Mass, to ascend to this high place, to get spiritual benefit from it, practice this discipline. Come fresh, come early, get quiet, take part, come to give, not to get. And that will free us from the preoccupation, the boring preoccupation with ourselves, and waken us to God. Because it's only if we are awake that we will have the chance to behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Let us stand and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God,
the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.